Cosmos.
Control program confirmed.
And I've always hungered to know our origins.
Unbelievable. The Saturn V lifting off is awe-inspiring.
For thousands of years, people have wondered about the universe.
Space, the final frontier.
That's our special Sunrise Stargazer theme music. Man, I love it. You are listening to Sunrise on 91.5 FM. It is Friday, November 16th, 2007, around about 8:35 in the morning. I'm Christine Dunlap. Our guest co-host this morning is Henry Marchand, the, in fact, producer of Sunrise. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning, Christine. Good morning, everybody.
Did you feel as though you were on a spaceship heading out there with... All those space guys behind you.
I did.
That's so cool. Just a tip of the hat to Brendan Murphy. He's actually graduated now, but he was a student here last year who put together that piece for us. And it is Stargazer time, and this morning the subject is meteors, in particular meteors around Mars. On our live line is Paul Withers. He's a research associate with Boston University's Center for Space Physics. Good morning, Paul.
Hello there. Good morning.
How are you? Thanks for joining us.
It's lovely to be on the Sunrise this morning.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do. What does the research? First of all, what is the Center for Space Physics?
The Center for Space Physics is a part of Boston University that's involved in research activities in outer space, mostly within our own solar system, rather than further afield than it's effectively a collaboration between the astronomy department and the engineering departments here.
And what's the focus of your research?
The main research that I do is related to looking at the planet Mars, looking at the boundary or interface between the Martian atmosphere and outer space.
And what do we know about the atmosphere of Mars? How does it compare with Earth?
We know a lot about the chemical makeup of the atmosphere and the sorts of weather patterns that go on in the lower atmosphere. In terms of what the atmosphere is made up of, it's made up of a carbon dioxide, a gas mostly, the thing that puts the fizz in fizzy inks. So you'd have great difficulty trying to breathe on Mars because there's no oxygen in the atmosphere. And it's much colder than our Earth's atmosphere. It's maybe about 100 Fahrenheit colder than the Earth's atmosphere down on the ground. And there isn't very much atmosphere at all. It's maybe 1% as dense as Earth's atmosphere. The pressure is about 1% the pressure that there is in Earth's atmosphere. So it's really a very different environment from what we're used to here on Earth.
Does not sound like someplace I'd want to visit, Paul. This is Henry Marchand. Welcome.
Morning.
One of the things that you study is whether there are meteors. Now, it seems kind of an easy question to answer. Of course, there must be meteors. If there are some here, there must be some throughout our solar system. But
that's right.
Apparently
yeah.
not. And my question is, it seems you have indeed determined that there are meteor showers, but because of the atmosphere, it's not as readily seen as they are on Earth. Is the source of these meteors different from ours? Is it the same debris that Mars passes through, or is it a different source?
There are two main types of meteors that we see in Earth's atmosphere. If you just go out after sunset this evening and look for a clear patch of sky, you'll see a couple of meteors to maybe 5 or 10 meteors every hour or so, and that those meteors are coming from all different directions in the sky, and that background rate of meteors is called sporadic meteors, but every so often throughout the year, meteors are much more intense in Earth's atmosphere. This is about the time of year when the Leonid meteors arrive on Earth. And in 1998 and 1999, those were very dramatic, visible showers where if you went outside at the right time of the night, you'd see maybe 100 meteors an hour. And those intense, short-duration outbursts of meteors are called short-hour meteors. They're all coming into Earth's atmosphere with about the same speed, about the same direction, and those shower meteors are little pieces of dust that fell off a comet as the comet was going around the sun. And give us a dramatic burst in meteor activity at certain times through the year. In terms of what we see at Mars, it seems as if we see a lot more of those shower meteors than the general everyday background sporadic stuff that's common in Earth's atmosphere.
So do the meteors come from the planets or to? I always got the impression that the meteors come to the planets, or do the planets throw off meteors?
Well, everything in the solar system is going around and around the sun, which sits at the center of the solar system. So you have the Earth going around and around the sun on its orbital path, and then you have the small pieces of dust, grains of sand going around on different orbits around the sun. So whether you think of the meteor crashing into Earth's atmosphere or Earth coming up behind the meteor and crashing into it is entirely a question of perspective.
Thank you. So if we understand, why is it important, I guess, to understand about the activity of meteor showers on Mars?
One of the reasons I'm interested in this, in that comets are an important part of the solar system. When the solar system was forming about 4.5 billion years ago, the sorts of materials that ended up forming planets like the one we stand on today went into comets as well, and materials that went into comets have been in a deep freeze almost for the last 4.5 billion years. They haven't been through the grinding and churning and processing that's gone on in the planets due to all their geological activities. So if we can find out more about what comets are like, we find out more about what conditions in the early solar system were like, how the planets formed, things like that.
Well, the thing that's really interesting to me is, you know, we've heard stories over the years, where did people come from? Where did life on Earth come from? And, you know, obviously we are understanding through evolution and so forth. But, you know, you often hear these sort of what sound like crazy ideas about alien landings and all of that. But it seems as though what I'm hearing, just watching sort of science channels on television, is that while certainly there might not have been, you know, little green men from the moon or Mars coming down, the fact of the matter is, if you have all this debris crashing into each other, it's possible that that some elements have come from another planet or another place in the solar system on Earth that helped contribute to eventually what was able to give form to life here on Earth. And is that what folks are looking at and thinking about now?
That's another one of the reasons that comets are very interesting to space scientists. Yes, because a big question about understanding how Earth is the way it is today is where do the sorts of chemical elements that make up humans and living things and plants come from, because humans are made up of quite different chemicals from rocks and mountains, and the bulk composition of the planet. And that those sorts of materials are thought to have been delivered onto the planets after most of the planet had formed, when most of the rock and lava and core and magma and all that stuff had been put in place and developed. But comets just flying around the solar system and bumping into Earth and other planets would have delivered the sort of chemical building blocks that are consumed by life as food, or used by life to build organisms. So the basic chemical building blocks could have been delivered to Earth by comets, even if that they probably weren't small bacteria or any living things on the comets coming in. It would just be the raw materials.
Now, with having a thinner atmosphere on Mars, on Earth, most of them burn up before they hit the ground and into the upper atmosphere. Are more of them landing on Mars if there are meteor showers and finding the way to the ground? And is there any way of tracking them that way with the vehicles that are there?
Well, the meteors that come into Earth's atmosphere generally burn up at something like 60 or 80 miles above the surface of the Earth. So even though the Mars atmosphere is 100 times less dense than the Earth's atmosphere, it's still plenty dense enough to burn up small grains of sand, meteor-sized particles in its upper atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But there are several cases where the two rovers that are driving around on the surface of Mars at the moment have gone up to an unusual looking rock, stared at it, sniffed at it, and decided that it's probably a meteorite that's landed on the surface of Mars, a fairly large object that hasn't been burnt up in the way the small grains of sand get burnt up.
Hmm.
So it seems quite possible that there are lots more meteorites scattered around the surface of Mars than you would see scattered around a typical desert surface on Earth, say.
You're listening to Sunrise. It's our Stargazer segment. We're talking with Paul Withers. He's a research associate at the Boston University Center for Space Physics. We're talking about meteors on Mars and implications for that and what we can learn from them. And so following up, Paul, on the earlier question, if it is true, and I guess we don't know for sure, but it's increasingly possible that as we understand what goes on in our own solar system and that perhaps there are elements on other planets are out there in the solar system that were not, so to speak, indigenous to Earth even, you know, billions of years ago, and that were brought here by meteorites, then those same elements have landed on other planets. And so if life hasn't developed, at least in the way we understand it or can tell, on any of the other solar system planets, then there must have been something about Earth that that's different than the other planets.
That there are a few different things that scientists think you need for life to exist and thrive. You need the right chemical elements, as you just mentioned. You need some kind of energy to keep them active and functioning, and that's generally sunlight or something like that. And you probably need liquid water as well. Liquid water just makes the chemical reactions that are important for life so much easier. So we think that Mars probably had the right chemicals on its surface. We think that it's probably got enough energy from sunlight and other things like that to drive biology if it ever existed. It's more difficult to know if liquid water was ever stable on Mars, if there were ever shallow seas or lakes or other quiet environments like that where these small chemical building blocks could come together and somehow end up as a self-replicating organism.
You mentioned that a lot of the debris from that creates these meteors come from comets. The recent, explosion or expansion of a comet, do we see that as something that's going to affect meteor showers by pushing out or expanding its debris field?
Whenever a comet makes a close pass by the sun, enters into the inner solar system and becomes very visible in the night sky, then it starts to spew out large quantities of dust and gas and other waste materials. When those are spewed off from the comet, it takes some time for the dust to move away from the center of the comet, just separate from the core of the comet and get dragged out in a long, long trail stretching halfway across the solar system beyond the comet. So eventually a large outburst in a comet's brightness or the breakup of a comet will lead to increases in meteor showers associated with that comet, but it'll take some time.
Tell us a little bit about a new technology or innovations in technology that allow you and others to be able to understand meteors better. I'm sure some of it must have to do with the probes that are out there. What else? How do you actually study them?
Well, one thing that's very different from the way you study meteors in the Earth's atmosphere is that we're not taking pictures of these meteors. The cameras that are in orbit around Mars or on the surface of Mars at the moment aren't really sensitive enough to take pictures of meteors in the night sky. So we have to look at other effects that meteors have on the planet's atmosphere, and coincidentally enough, the technique we use to measure them is radio waves, the same sorts of technology that your radio station is transmitting. When these grains of sand, these small meteors, come into the atmosphere and burn up in the atmosphere, as well as creating a flash of visible light in the atmosphere, they create effectively some static electricity in the upper atmosphere, and that they leave a region of charged particles in the upper atmosphere where all that static electricity is concentrated. And when a spacecraft in orbit around Mars tries to send its radio waves through that region of static electricity, the radio waves get affected by the static electricity, and from measurements of the radio waves as they're received on the ground, where he can infer what the characteristics of that charged region in the atmosphere is like.
Do you get all excited when you find a new meteor shower? It must be a big moment.
Well, it's difficult to really unambiguously identify these meteor showers because we haven't got the instrumentation at Mars where we can watch the atmosphere and this charged particle region every minute of every day across the entire planet. So we generally make one measurement every hour or every two 2 hours, and from that single measurement we determine whether it looks as if a meteor was affecting the atmosphere at that time. And we have to look at periods of a few days and see if there were lots of meteors going on in that few day period or not.
So obviously spending a lot of time on computers and trying to figure out, infer, as you said before, what you're seeing. But at some point, Paul Withers must have been, what, an 8 or 9 year old looking up at the sky and deciding he was fascinated by what you saw and wondered what was up there. How did you get interested in this line of work?
I think I've always been interested in things that go on in space. But I didn't really think about it as a career until I was, maybe 20 years old, something like that, coming to the end of my undergraduate degree, and I was looking around for what to do after I graduated from university. And I realized that some scientists in the world spent their time studying what the planets in the solar system are like. So some scientists enjoy studying really small things like the makeup of atoms and other small things like that. Some scientists like studying really big things like galaxies and the history of the universe. And it just seemed that planets were the right sort of size that interested me.
I noticed that you have a doctorate, a PhD in planetary science from the University of Arizona. What exactly does that mean, planetary science? Is that the same thing as astronomy, or?
It's similar to astronomy in a lot of ways, in that it uses the tools of physics and chemistry and the more mainstream sciences, if you will, to study the other objects and phenomena that are out there in the universe beyond our own planet, beyond the things that we can reach out and touch very easily and do laboratory experiments on. I'd say that astronomers are interested in stars, galaxies, and things of that sort of size scale, whereas planetary scientists are more interested in the small things. Planets, moons, asteroids, comets.
Well, Paul Withers, Research Associate at Boston University Center for Space Physics, we thank you so much for joining us on Sunrise Stargazer this morning and giving us a little information on meteorites.
Thank you.
And good luck in your work.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you, Paul.
You are listening to Sunrise. We are from the University of Massachusetts Lowell Public Radio for the Merrimack Valley. So could you have a few relatives up there on Mars, Henry?
I'm having flashbacks here because as a kid with the name Marshand, guess what they called me?
Oh, Martian?
Martian. So that was my nickname, or the taunt I endured.
Well,
I might have, but I don't know. I think it's a fascinating place I wouldn't want to visit, given that it's so cold and there is no air and there are meteors coming at you.
You couldn't pay me enough money to get in a spaceship. But I do think it's interesting because, you know, your whole life you hear these, like, these theories, like, what are these marks and the whatever and up in the Andes or in the cornfields, and it looks like there must be alien ships coming, or at one point there were, and that's, you know, there's sort of markings that show that that's where humans came from. And yeah, I always thought that was silly, and I still think it is silly, but it's just interesting to me that...
But you're thinking about believing it, maybe.
No, I'm actually not, but it makes sense when I just sort of recently was watching something on television, and it's like, oh, it's certainly, you know, get these pieces of rock, meteor banging into each of the planets all over the place, and have from the beginning of time here, it's the beginning of solar system time anyway, and of course they must have delivered elements and chemicals to each other that might have created something. And so it's not exactly the same as Martians or Martians coming to populate the Earth. But
I threw a lot of rocks around as a kid.
Never mind.
All
right, it's Friday. Well, that will wrap it up for, thank goodness, for today's edition of Sunrise. In fact, that wraps it up for the week.